I once knew this guy called Jake, and Jake was a carpenter. And as he was working on different people's houses, he began to get, you know, these big ideas, big dreams of what his dream house was going to look like. And he worked really hard. He saved up his money. He bought the block of land. It was out in the bush on the side of a mountain with views of the surrounding valley and the stream kind of flowing through. He thought, yes, this will be the perfect place to build my house. And he began to develop the plans. As he worked on other people's projects, he saw the things that really worked, the things he liked, the elements that kind of came together well. He saw those media rooms that were really fitted out beautifully. He saw the wonderful man caves and thought, okay, I've got to have one of those in my house. And he looked at the different areas and saw the, you know, the wonders of the butler's kitchen and the indoor swimming pool, all these different elements. And he began to dream and to begin to draft plans as to what this house might be. But as he went on and he continued to research, he spent more time thinking about the house, drawing plans, beginning to think about how things would fit together. And he began to kind of neglect his health. Even his work began to suffer. His family and friends began to drift away because he just wasn't available. And then one day, suddenly, out of the blue, he has a heart attack. He survives, but the doctors say, look, you're overworked, you're overstressed, you need to take things easy and to lay off for a while. And suddenly he realized that this dream house of his will probably never be built. And so often we have that sense within ourselves, these dreams that we have, this vision of what our life might be. And we spend so much time and energy, you know, thinking about this dream reality that we neglect to actually live in the present moment. And so when Jake was lying there on his hospital bed and looked out over the scene from the hospital window and realized that he hadn't taken time even just to look at the sky, to look up, to see the blue sky, you know, the reality of what this present moment is able to offer to us. You know, vanity of vanities, Hevel of Hevel is the Hebrew. Hevel is just means gas, or this sense of this thing that you know it's there, it's around you, it surrounds you, but you can't grab hold of it. You can't do anything really with it. And so when the English translators were trying to come up with an idea of how do you capture this sense of Hevel, what do you use to capture this? And so vanity felt like a good word to describe these things that are real, that are powerful, and yet we can't quite grab hold of and capture within our lives. And so often we build our lives on things that are merely Hevel, things that don't actually give us a shape and a structure for our lives. And Jesus wants us to find that freedom, not just to exist, not to live in the what ifs, not to live in the what might happen when we achieve that financial goal or whatever that thing is, but to actually live with that full human flourishing right here and right now, that this is the only place where we can encounter and discover God and His love. It's in this moment, it's in this present experience, it's with the friends and family that we have in cultivating those friendships and those relationships, allowing all of that to bring us into this place of wonder, this experience of gift. And so often our world is built on the predication that you don't have enough. And if you don't have enough, then you are not enough. All of our marketing campaigns tell us that if only you buy this new shiny gadget, your life will be complete. If only you invest in this share portfolio, then you will have enough money to be able to have your life complete. If only you were able to do this thing or to own that thing or to build that thing, then your life will be full and complete. I mean, how often have we seen the stories of the rich and famous, and they say, you know, how much more do you want? And people will say, well, just a little bit more. that then my life will be full. Then my life will be complete when we just have more of whatever it is that we have. But Jesus will say to us, no, you fool, your life will be judged this day. What will be your realization? What will be your judgment? What will be the place on which you stand? It's interesting that there are two parables that Luke tells in his gospel that have this similar language of someone being called a fool, of someone being judged straight away and immediately, not to the place of light and love and goodness, but to the place of damnation, the place of Hades, the place of Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom, the place where the fire was always burning just outside the city of Jerusalem. It's here in this story of this rich man who's only possessed about himself. Did you note the number of times that he just says, my soul, I will do this, I will prepare this, I will construct this. It's all this sense of just this life that has collapsed in on itself. He doesn't build community. He doesn't go and consult with other people. He doesn't share his life with others. He doesn't go to the elders in the town to see what the needs might be. How can I share this abundance with others in my need? The other story is of the rich man and Lazarus. Both are condemned. Both are found wanting. Not because they've done anything necessarily that is all that terrible, but their lives have collapsed in on the havel, on the vanity of their life. They haven't found this freedom to be in community, this place to be able to share that life with others. Paul invites us in Colossians today to see our identity simply in God, in the God who is above, calling us into freedom and into life, the God who wants us to possess that full abundance, that creativity that we can only find and experience when we give ourselves and surrender our hearts to God. Will we build our lives on the dreams of the more? Or will we live in this present moment and experience the wonder of God's love and God's tenderness? Will we experience the call to worship, to surrender ourselves to the God who is in everything, the God who is all? Or will we continue to collapse our lives into these dreams of myself and I and what I can do? Let's surrender ourselves. Let's give our hearts and our dreams to God today and allow Him to call us back into freedom, into life, and into the gift of His grace.